ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। राजान्यसंज्ञासुरकोटियुतपाय निर्व्यूज्यमाना निहनिष्यसे च मम। O my Lord, proprietor of all creation, you have now appeared in my house, desiring to protect this world. I am sure that you will kill all the armies that are moving all over the world under the leadership of politicians who are dressed as Kshatriya rulers, but who are factually demons. They must be killed by you for the protection of the innocent people. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Krishna appears in this world for two purposes. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam. To protect the innocent, religious devotees of the Lord, and to annihilate all the uneducated, uncultured asuras who unnecessarily bark like dogs and fight among themselves for political power. It is said, Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. The Hare Krishna movement is also an incarnation of Krishna in the form of the holy name, Nam Rupe. Every one of us who is actually afraid of the Asuric rulers and politicians must welcome this incarnation of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Then we will surely be protected from the harassment of Asuric rulers. At the present moment, these rulers are so powerful that by hook or by crook, they capture the highest posts in government and harass countless numbers of people on the plea of national security or some emergency. Then again, one Asura defeats another Asura, but the public continues to suffer. Therefore, the entire world is in a precarious condition. The only hope is this Hare Krishna movement. Lord Narasimhadev appeared when Prahlad was excessively harassed by his Asuric father. Because of such Asuric fathers, that is, the ruling politicians, it is very difficult to press forward the Hare Krishna movement. But because Krishna has now appeared in his holy name, through this movement we can hope that these Asuric fathers will be annihilated and the kingdom of God established all over the world. The entire world is now full of many asuras in the guise of politicians, gurus, sadhus, yogis, and incarnations, and they are misleading the general public away from God consciousness, which can offer true benefit to human society. O my Lord, proprietor of all creation, you have now appeared in my house, desiring to protect this world. I am sure that you will kill all the armies that are moving all over the world under the leadership of politicians who are dressed as Kshatriya rulers, but who are factually demons. They must be killed for the protection of the innocent public. World. He appears for the purpose of giving his kindness, his mercy, for the purpose of the upliftment of all living beings. Krishna explains in Gita, Samoham Sarvabhutanam, that I envy no one. I am equal to all. Krishna, his love, like the sun, does not discriminate.
if he was partial, then he would be like an ordinary man, according to one's own mental capacity towards sense gratification. We favor certain people, and we are unfavorable toward others. But Krishna explains in Gita, samoham sarababhuteshu namedveshosti napriya ye bhajanti tamam bhaktya mayite teshu chapyaham. That means I am equal to everyone. I see everyone as my children. And Krishna, his only motivation when he comes to this world is simply to reveal his love, his kindness to every living being. But here we find Devaki and Vasudeva, they are praying to the Lord that paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samstapanaradhaya sambhavami yuge yuge. You appear in this world, my Lord, to protect the religious pious devotees and to annihilate the demons and to reestablish the principles of religion. So if Krishna is equal to all, why is it that he annihilates the miscreants and he protects his devotees? Actually, Maharaj Yudhisthira, in the 7th canto of Bhagavatam, was very much inquiring in the same way. He was speaking with Sri Narada Muni, and he explained that this Shishupal was such an envious rascal. From his very earliest childhood, he was constantly engaged in blaspheming Krishna. And his every act, his every word, his every deed was not only against God, but against all innocent creatures on earth. He was making conspiratory alliances with other power-hungry, greedy, envious asuras. And in this way, they were causing havoc throughout the earth. Yudhisthira was very much surprised, because although Shishupal was such a terrible, terrible demon who caused the infliction of so much pain and suffering on so many people, and although he was utterly against God in every respect, you know it is said in the Bhagavatam that when you water the root of the tree, automatically the whole tree is nourished. But what happens when you cut the root of the tree? What happens if you put poison on the root of the tree? Then every part of the tree is injured, or perhaps dies. Isn't that true? Because everything that is given to the root is distributed to every part of the tree. Janmadyashayata. Krishna is the root of everything, Bhagwan. Therefore, whatever we do for Krishna is actually what we do for all of his creation and all living beings. If you nourish Krishna, if you offer service to Krishna, if you love Krishna, automatically that love, that service, is shared by all living creatures who are connected to him, like leaves, branches, twigs, and flowers on the tree. But at the same time, if we blaspheme Krishna, if we offend Krishna, then we create suffering and havoc throughout all the world. So this is the position of Shishupal. And yet, although all the great virtuous devotees, they wanted Shishupal dead. He was misleading so many people. When he was blaspheming Sri Krishna at the Rajasuya Yagga of Maharaj Yudhisthira, Bhishma, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadev, they all just wanted to tear him to pieces. Krishna said, no, leave him. Let him go on speaking. And ultimately, when he went beyond his quota of how much he was allowed to blaspheme Krishna, Krishna himself, with his Sudarshan Chakra, severed his head. And everyone was very happy.
Prahlad Maharaj explains in the Bhagavatam that when a snake or a scorpion is killed, even very pious people are very happy. Why? Because snakes and scorpions, their only business is to cause harm to others, to innocent people, even death. So everyone was very happy. Perhaps they were thinking, oh, let this rascal go to hell. Perhaps they were thinking like this. But what did they see? Right before their eyes, the spirit soul, in an effulgent form, emanated from the body of Shishupal and entered into the divine form of Sri Krishna, which means he attained mukti, liberation. So Maharaj Yudhisthira was wondering, great saints and sages, they worship you? They perform tapasya and austerity, perform the highest principles of morality, just for liberation, and Shishupal got liberation, and he didn't do anything pious throughout his whole life. Why? And Narada Muni explained that Krishna is equal to everyone. Krishna does not discriminate. He gives everyone what they need. He gives everyone what's best for them. Krishna reveals himself as we approach him. Just like if one child is very naughty and is acting against the interests of himself as well as the whole family and society, and the other child is very obedient and very loving, the father cannot deal with them the same way. But this does not mean that the father loves one and does not love the other. He loves them both equally if he is a proper father. But he gives each of them what is required for their benefit. If a child has a rotten mentality and you spoil him, then what do? You simply make him more rotten. If a child has a nice mentality, you encourage that. So in this way we find that Krishna, when he comes to protect the pious and annihilate the miscreants, he is not discriminating. Out of love, he is giving each person what's best for them. And also, he deals with what's best for the entire society. Prahlad Maharaj was such a simple, humble, beautiful devotee, and Hiranyakashipu was a blood-sucking demon. He used to drink the blood of human beings. He would massacre Brahmins performing sacrifice. He was, in the true sense of the word, a terrible person. Krishna, how he protected the innocent Prahlad, and how he tore Hiranyakashipu to pieces. But did he discriminate? He gave Prahlad what was best for him. He did for Hiranyakashipu what was best for him. So here, Vasudeva and Devaki, they are on the transcendental platform. They are seeing in terms of the ultimate welfare of everyone. They see everyone with equal vision. So here, Vasudeva and Devaki are saying, you must kill these demons in the name of, who are in the guise of politicians, because otherwise the innocent public is simply being exploited, manipulated, and cheated, and diverted from the goal of life. Is this the way devotees think? Kill? Why, Vasudeva and Devaki, they are topmost devotees of the Lord. And yet they're talking like this. Kill these demons, Krishna, please. This is our prayer. Actually, it is their love. Vasudeva and Devaki, they themselves would never take it upon themselves to kill anyone. They were peace-loving, gentle people. But Krishna, they knew, that this is his purpose for coming to the world, to show his causeless mercy to everyone. Krishna loves the demons as well as the devotees.
But he favors one externally and does not favor the other, but actually he's favoring both equally. His only business of coming into this world is to help purify all living beings and bring them to the standard of love and devotion to his lotus feet. Here Srila Prabhupada is explaining that Krishna, when he comes to this world, this is his business, to do what's best for every living being according to his respective position. And in this age of Kali Yuga, he has appeared within the divine sound of his holy name. And of all incarnations, his holy name is considered to be the most merciful. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was that incarnation who brought the holy name and advocated it for all classes of men. It is often said that the difference between Lord Chaitanya and other incarnations can be understood as follows. Rupa Goswami describes, Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gaurateshe Namaha. That of all the various incarnations throughout history, throughout all the religions, my dear Lord Sri Gauranga, you are the most merciful. Because you are doing what no other incarnation has ever done. You are giving love of God without discrimination freely to everyone, even to the demons. Lord Sri Chaitanya, how unique. When he appeared in the form of Sri Narasingadev in the Satya Yuga, how did he kill the demon Hiranyakashipu? And how did he kill practically all of the associates of Hiranyakashipu? He tore them to pieces with the nails of his hand. He killed them. In this way he gave them all mukti, liberation. He freed them from all their sinful actions. He freed the world of the burden of these demoniac persons. In this way, he opened the path and the road for all innocent people to advance. And at the same time, he liberated all these others. Because they died in the presence of God, thinking of God, they were liberated. And in the Treta Yuga, that same Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as Lord Ram. This time he did not use his nails. He used another astra or weapon. He used his bow and his arrow. And with his bow and arrow, he pierced the hearts of such great demons as Maricha, Kara, Dushan, Indrajit, Ravana. Killed them all with his bow and arrow, very sharp. And in this way, they all attained mukti. And he freed the world to be under the leadership of such a great saintly king as Vibhishan. Sri Lanka, after Narasingadev killed Hiranyakashipu, was simply exploiting all virtue in the earth, he put Prahlad as king. So he annihilates the demons, and he installs a saintly person to lead the innocent people on the path of Dharma. And in the Dwarpa Yuga, that same Supreme Bhagavan, he appeared as Sri Krishna, the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. And with the weapon of his Sudarshan Chakra, he killed many demons, such as Shishupal. With the weapon of his fists, he killed the demon Kamsa. And in this way, all were liberated. And he enthroned Ugrasena again as king and allowed all innocent people to be directed on the proper path of Dharma. So we find that the Lord, in every yuga, in every incarnation, he appears with a various weapon to kill the demons out of love for them. It's the best thing for them. It's the only other way. They won't listen to logic. They won't listen to reason. He purifies them. But why is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the most merciful? Srila Rupa Goswami and the other acharyas analyze that he came with only one weapon, the weapon of the holy name, which is none different than himself. And this weapon of the holy name, it is more powerful than his nails, his fists, more powerful than his bow and his arrow or his Sudarshan chakra, more powerful than the axe, the chopper of Parasurama. Why? Because these weapons killed the demons and gave them liberation. Liberation means what? Purified them of all their sins, gave them a clean slate. Through the holy name of the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he killed the demoniac mentality within the demons without destroying their body and awakened pure devotional service within their hearts. We find in the case of Jagai and Madhai, Dinahina Yatta Chilo Harinam Udarilo Dharasaki Jagai Madhai. Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, Jai and Vijay, you know the story, they fell into this world due to offending the Kumars. Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu was their first incarnation. Ravana and Kumbhakarna were the next. Shishupal and Dantavakra were the next. All of them were killed and liberated by the powerful weapons of the Lord. Those same demons of the same caliber, those same demoniac personalities appeared in the Kali Yuga as Jagai and Madhai. And it is described that they were more vicious in this age than they were in previous ages. And with the weapon of the holy name, Lord Gaurasundar, he didn't kill them. He killed their envy from within the heart. He spared their lives. And they became saints. They became pure devotees, sadhus of the highest caliber. He gave them love of God, which is considered far greater, deeper, and more satisfying than this condition of mukti. This is the mercy of Lord Gauranga. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Bhata. This is the mercy of the holy name. And through the holy name of the Lord, all living beings can be purified, whoever they may be. The holy name of the Lord always has this power. But in the age of Kali Yuga, it is the only means, according to the Shastra. Other disciplines are very difficult. But we find long ago, in the history of Sri Valmiki Muni, he was a murderer and a hunter. He was a highway robber. And when he met Sri Narada Muni, Narada Muni convinced him to chant the name of Ram indirectly. And simply by that chanting, Valmiki Muni became the greatest, most celebrated of all sages. Although he lived some millions of years back, we are still reading his writings with tears in our eyes, thanking him, worshipping him. Even the greatest, most austere, most pure-hearted saints, they put him on the highest position. Through the mercy of Guru and through the mercy of the holy name, all this took place. But of course, at this time, this was a very rare thing. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he distributed that same mercy that Valmiki Muni attained to everyone and anyone, everywhere. But Krishna reveals himself as we approach him. If we learn to take shelter of the holy name, then the highest purification, the greatest mercy of the Lord takes place within our heart. And therefore, there are 10 offenses that one must very carefully avoid in chanting the holy name of the Lord. Why do we very carefully learn, understand, and guard against these offenses? It is very important, because the name of the Lord is none different than Krishna himself. Just like not anyone is allowed just to go onto the altar and begin to address the murtis and bathe them and offer the arti and the bhog. Only very qualified Brahmins, Vaishnavas, devotees, who are trained very carefully, they learn how to respect the deity and worship him in this way. The holy name is none different than the deity of the Lord. The holy name is none different than God himself. But the difference between the name and the murti is the name you can carry with you everywhere and anywhere. And you can be of any class, and you can be in any situation physically, whether you're in a bathroom or whether you're on the altar of the Lord. You can always call out the holy name. But these offenses, even if we are offensive, if we chant the holy name, we will gradually become offenseless. But our spiritual progress is very much minimized to the degree we very carefully guard against these 10 offenses. To that degree, when we approach the holy name by calling out the holy name, our heart will be receptive to receive the full mercy of the name. Otherwise, we are putting blockages, we are putting obstacles between the mercy of the Lord and our consciousness. So therefore, this chanting of the holy name, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gati Randyata, is meant for the individual as well as massive purification of the entire society. And without physical violence, the holy name can reestablish the highest principles of religion, protect the innocent, and annihilate the demoniac tendencies of the demoniac. And that is why the great acharyas, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they have taught us that the greatest welfare work, the greatest compassion, the greatest charity, is to distribute the holy name of God to the world. And there is no pious activity more pious than this. There is no spiritual offering to the Lord more pleasing than this. Because the greatest pleasure, the greatest satisfaction, and when the Lord sees his children caring for his own brothers and sisters by trying to bring them to the real standard of joy and spiritual consciousness. Therefore, the first offense to the holy name is to blaspheme those devotees who are dedicating their lives to propagating the glories of the holy name. Because such a person is so dear to the Lord that whoever offends such a person is committing the greatest offense to the Lord himself. If you insult a rich man, he's offended. But if you cause harm to his son, he'll be thousands of times more angry with you, right? If you go to an adult and you push him, he'll be very mad at you. But if you go up to his innocent, helpless son and push him, my God, he'll be thousands of times more angry with you. Because that is the nature of love. So any offense to the devotee of the Lord cannot tolerate. And therefore, we must understand that all of these 10 offenses to the holy name, we should learn very carefully, and we should very, very carefully guard against them so that we can truly receive the greatest benefits in our chanting. Knowing the power of the mercy of the holy name. How do we know it? Through the scriptures. It's not a question of our imagination. It's not a question of our beliefs. It is a question of what the great acharyas are speaking, what the Lord himself is speaking in the Shastra. Is there any questions? Yes.
Do you feel possibly to live that way the same thing that instead of killing the demons, like to make them human?
Because that supreme benediction is really reserved by the causeless arrangement of the Lord to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the Namkirtan. Because you see, in previous ages, demons were a minority and they were expected to become devotees. It was a lesson to the rest of society that this is the result of being a demon and this is the result of being a devotee. The difference between Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu. This is how he established religion, by showing what happens to the demoniac and what happens to the pious. Huh? So therefore, it was the best for all living beings. But the problem in Kali Yuga, the Lord would do that too. But practically everyone's a demon in Kali Yuga. He'd have to kill practically everyone. So therefore, he makes special concession. We don't care what you are, just chant Hare Krishna. Lord Nityananda, this is what he said. At the beginning, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Jagai and Madhai, they broke a pot on the head of his dearest devotee, Lord Nityananda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was angry. He called upon his Sudarshan Chakra. He was ready to do the same thing he did to Shishupal, to them. But what did Lord Nityananda do? He interceded. He said, "My Lord, this is Kali Yuga. More or less everyone's like this. If you kill them, you're going to have to kill 99% of the population." In other yugas, Lord Nityananda, Balaram is Lord Nityananda. He didn't say that when Krishna, when Balaram was there. He didn't say that when Krishna was ready to kill Shishupal. He was thinking, "Yes, very good, do it. It's the best thing for that demon." Huh? And Lakshman, he's the one that killed Indrajit. Huh? He was assisting. And he was very happy when Ram killed Ravana. That same Lakshman, that same Balaram, who was supporting Krishna killing the demons, as Lord Nityananda, he said, "Don't kill these demons. They're just as bad as the others, but there's a difference. In Kali Yuga, everyone's like this, more or less. We've come to give them all a chance. If we take this role, nobody will have a chance in Kali Yuga." Huh? In other yugas, this would be giving everyone a chance. But in Kali Yuga, we can't deal like this. We have to make a completely special concession in this age to give hope to society. So spare them, give them your holy name. Any other questions?
I mean, this is the chance that is being given to us in Kali Yuga. I would prefer also that the Lord come and take my life and give me mukti like he did with Ravana and everything. Rather than give me a chance this way, I wish he would just destroy me and give me mukti so that I could.
That's what you want? Isn't it nicer to just be a devotee? And love the Lord? Huh? Do you think it's easy to be killed? Do you think it was easy for Hiranyakashipu to be torn to pieces? Huh?
He had to perform an austerity. You see, these demons were already big demons. We're already tiny demons. The Lord, you don't see him descending and wasting his time with little people like us, right? He gets the big ones. The others, he just lets them go through their own karmic reactions and die in that way, right? So that is his mercy. That rather than just letting us just drown in our own karmic reactions, he gives us a chance to purify our lives. And plus, mukti is not considered a very attractive destination. Bhakti is much greater. He did not give these devotees entrance into his divine lila in the spiritual world. He only liberated them from their sins. But in Kali Yuga, even the most demoniac, if they just take to the holy name, they get mukti automatically when they get bhakti. They develop pure love of God, go back to the spiritual kingdom when they leave this world. So it's a benediction which is so, so rare. Something Hiranyakashipu and these others, they didn't get. Shishupal did not get. He's giving it freely to all of us. Any other questions?
Prabhupada included the sadhus and gurus also in politicians. These are the people that chant the holy names.
But if you do not chant the holy name, according to the proper system of understanding through parampara, following in the footsteps Mahajano Yena Katasa Panta of the great devotees of the Lord, as we were explaining at Kar a few nights ago, that the chanting of the holy name is like blank bullets. You know, blank bullets. It makes a sound, but there's nothing there. It's just a sound with no substance. Unless we learned how to chant the holy name properly and we receive it from a pure source, then we're not really chanting the holy name. It externally sounds like the holy name, but it truly is not. It's minimal effect. It's like a shadow of the holy name. It's like a reflection of the holy name. So therefore, Prabhupada is explaining people who are misleading others, who are not following a proper sampradaya, who are not teaching the true progressive values given in the scriptures, who are impersonating God, or who are misleading others with false doctrines, such persons, Prabhupada explains, they are asuras. Asuras in the sense that they are diverting people's attention really away from God rather than toward God. You see, in the 10th canto, it is described that Pralambasura was the most dangerous of all the demons. Why? It's not that he was necessarily more powerful. It's that he impersonated himself as a cowherd boy. Agasura, everyone knew he was a demon. Keshi, everyone knew he was a demon. These demons that just showed their real colors, everyone knew that they were demons. There was no problem. They just knew, Krishna has to kill this person. But Pralambasura appeared to be Krishna's friend. Therefore, he was most dangerous. Because such a person, you could put your trust in him, you could put your faith in him, but he's exploiting you. For his own purposes, own selfish purposes.
So therefore, this is very dangerous. And that is why Prabhupada very strongly states this within his purport. It does not mean that all gurus, sadhus, and yogis are in that category, but those who are misleading people for their own selfish purposes must learn the science so we can discriminate. People put on the robe of a sadhu just to get recognition, just to get free food, just to get followers. This is very bad cheating. The whole dignity of the most sacred order of life, which is meant to uplift the whole society, they're ruining the dignity of that. And in this way, they're disturbing the faith of the whole society in true sadhus. It's like there is that story. There was a very, very devoted man, and he was riding on a horse, and a sadhu came to him and said, "My dear sir, I'm very hungry. I'm so hungry. Can you please give me just some food? Just give me something." And he said, "I've been traveling. I've given up everything to devote my life in the loving service of the Lord, and you are a wealthy man, please give me," it was just on the side of the road, "please give me some donation." So this man was very charitable. He said, so he got off his horse and was ready to give him something. The man took everything he had, grabbed it out of his hand, jumped on his horse and rode away. The sadhu. So this pious man, He said, please stop for a second. He said, "I swear to you, I will not ask you for my horse back. I will not ask you for my money back, but I only have one request. If you're going to be a robber and a thief like this, take whatever I have, but do not do it in the dress of a sadhu. Because if you do, the whole world is going to lose all the respect and dignity for the real sadhus. And that will cheat the whole world from the opportunity of going back home, back to Godhead. Becoming without respect and for the sadhu class of men, there's no hope for anybody to make any real spiritual advancement. So do not diminish the dignity of this saintly order of life. Take everything I have, but not in this dress, please." But this is very much the condition today. People with political motives take high positions in religion. And they totally mislead the innocent in the name of God. And even advocate violence. And killing and bloodshed in the name of God. This is demoniac. And some of these people in big, big, high religious positions. But they're simply politicians. They're envious, they're greedy, they're power hungry. Therefore one must learn what the qualities of a real saintly person are and receive knowledge and offer respect to such persons. Any other questions?
Because Prahlad Maharaj is your devotee, 10 generations, about 10 generations, you were also liberated. So that liberation is liberation from sinful activities or liberation from
liberation? Liberation from sinful activities. But that is a rule that is given to all devotees who become purified, including yourself. 10 generations, past and future, will all get liberated from all their previous sins if you become a good devotee of the Lord. But of course, considering what kind of karma people have in this day and age, that's a great, great benediction. Well, there's no greater service you can offer than becoming a pure devotee. They all get liberated. But at the same time, you're not content just with that. You're also trying to teach, if at all possible, you want to give them Krishna consciousness so they can go back to Godhead, attain that state beyond liberation. It's not that we just think, oh, let these people, let my brothers, my sisters, my parents, let them do all nonsense because they'll all get liberated if I become pure. That's true. But give them a better chance. Give them something even beyond liberation. Try to help them understand how to take shelter of the name of Krishna, the name of God.
Yes. Yesterday, in one purpose, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the third canto, said the warriors in the battlefield of Kurukshetra who were fighting on the side of Duryodhana, when they were killed, they achieved liberation in the sense, because all the warriors developed love of God at time of death, they achieved Vaikuntha. And the other people who were around, people in Vrindavan and others, who developed the highest form of love of God, achieved Kuru Vrindavan. So, like once these warriors achieved, like they said, for a moment also when they developed the love of God, they could go to Vaikuntha planets. I couldn't get that thing very clear.
Because on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, because of Krishna's divine presence, he gave the special benediction that everyone who died in his presence went back to Godhood. Because whoever died at the time of death